Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
Hey, go. G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm your host John Crockett and today we're talking position landscapes and all things Christmas movies. A little birdie dropped us in a bit of a sneak peek of all the position landscapes upcoming for the 2021 season, and we're just going to run through those, some of the notable people who've lost or added a position and whatnot. And to help us do that is the man from Western Victoria, Stephen Fizz. How you doing, mate?
Feel like a pedophile, Jono. Feeling like a pedophile. Was listening to the music on the YouTubes, as you do, because you don't have to pay for anything. And I was going through some old music that I used to listen to, and you know how it sort of builds a playlist based on sort of what you've been watching or listening to lately. And Jimmy Eat World came up. And, you know, I used to like Jimmy Eat World back in the day.
Yeah.
And some great songs. And the film clip for The Middle came up. And I don't know if you're familiar with, and the listeners out there are familiar with the film clip for The Middle. But it's essentially
I haven't seen it for a while.
It's essentially a house party where there's a bunch of teenagers dancing around in their underwear. Now, that's all fine and good when you're about 16, 18, whatever. When you're 40, it feels like I've just been to Jeffrey Epstein's island, and I need a shower. That's how I'm going.
Yeah, that's he's right in his wheel bag there for Jeffrey Epstein. Maybe he's like a little Easter egg in that film clip. Who knows? Cam, welcome to you. Yeah.
Jeffrey Eat World is all I can say to that one, boys.
We are going to go through the position landscapes. Cam, why don't you go through the forwards and just what caught your eye for the forwards changes for 2021?
Yeah, there's a few. And just as a broad statement, last year where there was sort of one top tier forward or two top tier forwards and then it fell off a cliff and you could kind of wait until the back end of the draft, this year it seems like there's probably a higher group of sort of tier one, tier two forwards that are going to be worth getting, but then there's a massive drop off, and again it will be sort of that late draft play, I think. But from the start, so Zach Bailey went from defender last year to mid forward this year. I think that's really quite interesting. I definitely have some, he had a great year last year and is really serviceable, and I have a fair bit of interest there. Steele Sidebottom retained his mid forward that he picked up mid year last year, and again, I think he's going to be probably one of the top forwards for next year.
Does he come in with the highest average for forwards?
Yeah, he'd be close to the highest average, yep. So yeah, I think he's going to be, I would expect him to play a bigger role in the midfield with Treloar out, and so should see a consistent scoring rather than a bump. Nick Hind, a little bit of interest there. He's forward only, but he's flagged as playing halfback role at Essendon from one of the vacant spots left by Connor McKenna or Adam Saad. So I think there's some interest there. My worry is, of course, that he's been at Essendon before and he didn't get a game then, so why would he get a game now? They obviously see something in him now, so well worth a look late in drafts. Isaac Smith is a mid forward at the Cats. Now, some interest considering the Cats' heavy mark kick gameplay could play into his hands quite significantly if they run down the wings. Dangerfield, obvious value again with Jeremy Cameron coming in. He could see an uptick in midfield time and still, you know, float forward, but with reduced rotations, I think it's good signs for him spending less time on the bench as well. So he should be around the ball a little bit more and on the field a little bit more. Tom Phillips, mid-forward, big interest there. I think just based on some of his previous years at the Pies, where he scored quite well, I think he can potentially do that if he gets that wing spot, which he's touted for. My major concern, of course, is that Well, and not that he's ever scored well before, but Tom Scully has been on a wing at Hawthorn and hasn't exactly scored well. So it could go either the Tom Scully way or it could go a serviceable Isaac Smith way. It's probably too early to tell.
Tom Phillips way, you mean?
No, I meant Isaac Smith way. Like, that's probably the scale of what
the split.
Yeah, of what you can expect his score to look like. Jai Caldwell has gained forward status going to the Dons, and the Dons have already said that they're going to give him a prolonged crack in the middle. So that smells to me like a good target, though I think he's going to be one of those people that gets maybe overdrafted a little bit on hype alone. Connor Rosie and Zach Butters are both forward only, which I think is very nice. It's probably going to be one of the last years that you can get them as a forward, with both of them again touted to move into or at least spend more time around the ball. Although they're going to be competing for it, so there will be probably some time forward, but they should both score quite nicely. Dustin Martin retained, obviously very nice. Shai Bolton retained, which I found pretty interesting because he was he played a lot of midfield last year and he looked really good in there. So I have a fair bit of interest in Shai Bolton for next year as a forward. Ron Marshall, ruck forward should be really good again next year. And again, with Paddy Ryder sort of at any point turning into dust, there's all of the opportunity for him to score well as a forward, but then score even better as a ruck.
Not to harp on the pride, but he was fucking... What is going on? He was fucking awesome in that forward ruck role that so many people just score absolute dirt in. He was amazing.
Yeah.
And also by AFL rating points, the 26th best player in the game.
Oh, wow. You know, he was bang on last year. He had a really, really good year. Josh Dunkley, mid-forward. This might be a hot take, but I have no interest in drafting Josh Dunkley next year.
Boom!
Boom! I think it's a really scary thing to draft, and you'll have to pay probably a first or second round pick for him, and that's... I just can't see, you know, that risk is out of this world for me. He could end up, you know, if Bevo decides that he's already out the door, he may not even get game time towards the end of the season. Like, there's so much risk involved in that that I just don't want a part of it.
Well, in his first year at the Dogs, I know it was only his first year, but when he was predominantly forwards, he was basically scoring 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
I don't think he goes back to scoring them, but it's going to be something between that 80 and 100 mark. And, yeah, if you're paying a premium price from him as a probably more second rounder than first rounder, then you wouldn't want a bar of it, would you?
Well, yeah, I just think the variance will be too high to be comfortable selecting him anywhere where you need to draft him.
Yep.
Harry Schoenberg, I think, is a really interesting one. He's listed as forward only, and he's basically a model of, you know, a Clayton Oliver type player. He's sort of come in as that sort of pudgy midfielder and, you know, has leaned up a little bit, played some games last year, was good without being outstanding. But with Brad Crouch leaving, I think there's definite opportunity for someone like Schoenberg to get more time on the ball and have a really good 2021. So definitely a really good late draft smoky as a forward only. Dane Zorka retains. Again, we kind of expect him to split more forward than mid as he gets older. So just expect a bit more transition there and a drop in scoring. Matt Kennedy actually was really good towards the tail end of last season. He won me the keeper league, the draft of this keeper league. I think bad signs though for him. He was dropped to the rookie list in the offseason. So I'm not too big on him next year. And finally, Jared Brander maintained. I think I have a little bit of interest in him more from he'd never been a winger before. His last year he played full wing time. If they continue his development on the wing, I think his scoring should increase. So it's probably someone that you could pick up right at the tail end of your draft. And finally, Jordan Dugowie maintains forward status. He was a late chance to get DPP... convicted domestic violence forward, but he's just missed out on that one.
Mm-hmm. Maybe 2022.
Yeah.
Or 6 to 10, we don't know.
So with that, Cam, what's your breakdown? I know AFL Fantasy and Murdoch Royal Commission coach, pretty different. Like Dangerfield's probably going to go first round in the MRCC format. What break it down for us? Because like I'm looking at a guy like Isaac Heaney, right? And he's just a forgotten man, and you'll probably pick him up start of the fourth sort of thing. Like he won't even be one of the top four forwards off the board in any format.
Yeah, the way I kind of see it is, I think there's about six people that are probably worth drafting in the first three rounds, and then there's maybe one or two people from there to about round 15. Like that's the strategy that I'll be going in with anyway. But there's a big group of people that are going to average, roughly 60 to 75, and it's all a bit of a roulette wheel.
You really want to get the last guy at that top tier. That's always the play, right?
Absolutely.
But you don't want that to be Josh Dunkley. To me, he's the guy who, yeah, if things went his way, he could be the top dog, but he is such a F4 candidate as well.
Oh, dude, he could be lower than that. Like, seriously, there's an outcome where he misses, like, the back end of the season. And it's like, the last two games, you need him for a grand final, and Bevo's like, you know what? Latham Vandermeer is going to play on ball, and Dunkley can play fucking orange cut.
He could play ruck.
Oh.
Chuck him on a wing. He's got pace to burn.
Well, who do you have higher? What are your thoughts? Say, Steel Sidebottom's coming in with a massive average compared to the other guy. Does he come in as the number one DT forward?
Yeah, I have him as number one at the moment.
Yeah, sure.
Yep.
I'd have him up there as well.
So Danger for me comes in at number two. And then, yeah, it's a bit of a mix up after then.
What? Dusty? No. AFL Fantasy? No. All right. I took a look at the defenders, and pretty much it's vanilla as fuck. When you look at the breakdown of who finished where last year, you're going to see your Lloyd, your Whitfield, your Laird, Stewart's all going to be your top 10. So there's no one really there that's changed or come on the scene that's going to knock down that door.
Well, Whitfield's new.
Well, he was GPP last year.
He was forward.
Mid-forward. Yeah.
Mid-forward. Oh, well, Whitfield's back. So I thought he was defender forward for some reason.
Defender the year before.
Whitfield's back. See, they change these things all the time, and COVID's just fucking
It's too much.
It is. So like I said, it'll be Lloyd, Whitfield, Laird, your Tom Stewarts, Redleys will be up there, your top 10. So it's going to be... Your top tier defenders are going to be pretty much the same. The only thing with Laird is he's added the midfield status, like Houston, for a bit of flexibility last year. Brady Smith as well. Don't know if he's going to get a game or not, but Bryce Gibbs, defender status, had a banger last game before his retirement. I'm not sure why Adelaide picked him up. I don't know if it's for...
contract reasons, apparently. So, like, for them to be able to pay out his final year of his contract, he had to be on list.
So will they delist him at final list lodgements?
What I read today is that they can make him, what do they call it, like, unavailable player or whatever it's called, and draft someone else.
Okay. Yeah. So he's got, like, some sort of, not long-term injury, but a reason not to play sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Nothing really. Carlton, you got your Saad, Doc, Williams, Newman, SPS all thrown in the mix there. That's going to be more of a question of who's going to be the main scorer at the club there. Melbourne added Adam Tomlinson got defender. I did write him about the draft kit last year. Maybe someone in Supercoach you'd look at. But with his scores this year, it was all Zach Langdon and Co, who got the points. Christian Salem, those in defence, he played more lockdown than sort of rebounder, interceptor there. Cam, I can't believe you missed it. Nathan Jones lost his defender status and got the forward status. Can't believe you didn't mention that.
Who?
Yeah, the Chrome Dome, a guy like you.
Oh, can we this is time to introduce our segment. Broadband or breakout.
On Adam Tomlinson or Nathan Jones, because we know Nathan Jones ain't doing. They're going to wheel him out for, I think he needs 7 games for 300, and then via con Dios, mofo.
So he's broadband.
Broadband. who's drafting this guy? Orozio, Fantasia. He got defender status as well as the forward status. Exactly. He didn't play half the year because he was injured, and then, I don't know. Sam Mays, who was pretty good for a couple of weeks at Port Adelaide, became defender only when he was a mid. Reece Conker, defender only. Get on board, people. Get on board. And I'm sure, Steve, you'll talk about another Fremantle player who might have lost his defender status a little bit later on, or do you want me to mention it?
Well, I got like three, so...
Connor Blakely is a mid only for 2021. I know he's out of contract, but then probably not going to play him as well. Shane Edwards also lost the defender status as well. So he was pretty serviceable for your super coach in 2020. Big boy McAvoy got the defender status in AFL Fantasy last year. So he's now a defender ruck. He's retained that. That's not too bad, especially in your keeper leagues. If you're looking, if you've got a good ruckman and McAvoy as your backup, you can chuck him in the defence there. Cam, Jordan Clark has gotten the defender status. What is your thoughts on that? Are they going to just actually play him in a halfback role, or just let him sit in the sun and wilt?
It's probably a combination of both. But I'm hyped for Jordan Clark. I'm concerned because they brought in Isaac Smith. Is my only two. Like, there's too many people in the sort of positions that he plays. Maybe there's a position down back if they move sort of Lockie Henderson to play the Harry Taylor role, and then they move, Jordan Clark into that halfback role. That's maybe an opportunity, but I've got interest, but a late draft at best.
Yeah, because it's funny, like, a few years ago, Geelong had these really good running defenders who scored well in both formats, but now it's really only Tom Stewart. So I don't know if they'll get back to that sort of thing where they had, it was Enright and Harry Taylor all scoring Mackie. Well, but now it's Mackey as well. Like, now it's just, really Tom Stewart. So it'd be good if he can get up and running, because I really like him. Jack Bowes, defender only. Will Powell as well. Dan Houston is defender only. Noah Bolter, he was the ruckman last year, now only defender, which is pretty good for your super coach format. And Steve, your boy, Jordan Dawson, is defender only this year.
Yep.
So, I just feel the defenders are pretty vanilla. We've only got the Whitfield back, so I think there's more interest in the forwards, whereas maybe your defenders might slide a bit this year, but your top tiers are going to go off the board pretty quickly, but might be some value later on in your drafts there. So there's the defenders. What have you got, Steve, who lost the DPPs?
I think also Cam actually forgot Will Brody picked up the forward status.
I did have him on my list, and I was like, it's either I forget him or Stewie Jew's forgotten him, so it doesn't matter.
Stewie Jew ate him, remember?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so as always, the carnage was losing their defender or forward status. Most of the casualties, as usual for fantasy-relevant players, come from the forwards. We've seen this over the years. The breakouts come from the forwards because talented players play forward or in the middle. That is what happens. So you lost Christian Petrarca, Andy Brayshaw, Hugh Greenwood, Blake Akers, Jai Simkin, Lunchmeat, that is Devin Smith for new listeners, Bailey Smith, Brandon Parfitt, James Rowbottom, Chase Jones, Adam Chera, Connor Blakely, James Ash, Dave Swallow did pick up forward status, but he has not retained it. Lockie Weller, mainstay of our defence for a few years, has lost it. LDU, Jono, that's got to crush your soul. You are a big LDU fan.
It does.
Shedwards, as you mentioned. Lipinski from the Bulldogs. Jade Gresham, who had all the midfield time in the world and did jack shit with it. He will not be back in there next year, I can assure you of that. And he'll chut it up in the St. Kilda forward line. Nah, he's a good player, but Zach Jones, midfield only. And who's that? I don't know. Is that a player?
Zach Tui?
No.
He lost defenders mid only.
Yeah, no, I was trying to just keep on relevant players. Yeah, anyway.
It's just drunken research.
No, I'm good. I'm fine. But I think the big question is a lot of these players, you know, aside from Lockie Weller and that who are somewhat established, is they tend to be breakout sort of players. And when they have positional status or, say, non-mid status, you can kind of get away with rostering them. But for me, when they have the midfield status, you can get away with it not as much. Obviously, you want your midfielder scoring at a higher clip. And because most of them are on teams, when you get forwards, you can just stream them and so forth. So really, beyond Brandon Parfitt, I can't see many of these guys being rosterable. Yeah.
You don't think Track maintains or gets...
No, I mean like Petraka, Brayshaw, Greenwood, Aikens,
oh, yeah,
Simpkin,
from down after even that, yeah.
Devin Smith are sort of rosterable, right? But once you get to like Chera, he's a hard sell for me. It's to be rosterable. Yeah. That's sort of what I mean.
I have a hard time ranking the entire Fremantle midfield, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because Brayshaw, I think, should be good, but he was shithouse when Tucker was in the team.
Yeah.
And Tucker's going to be back, you know? Like, Chera, then does he get the same time on the ball if Tucker is back? No idea. Like, it's really hard.
I think people, I don't know. Tucker's fine, but he's not that good. Like, really.
Well, they were losing games when he was in there, right?
Yeah, so he's not great. He's not a top... I know what draft pick you were doesn't matter once you're at the club, but draft pedigree still counts to me. I know Tucker wasn't a low pick, but shit, man. Top five picks. I still think Brayshaw's rosterable, but where it's going to be is going to be very interesting.
Exactly.
I think the really interesting guy is Simpkin, because he really, we saw him and Jed Anderson. Well, Jed Anderson's been relevant when he's had the role in the past, but Simpkin really rose to prominence this year. Ben Cunnington is a fantastic contested player. It's going to be really interesting to see what that midfield mix looks like, because they've got a lot of young talent. North appear to be going through a rebuild. Do they give, I don't want to say a legend of the club, but he's damn, you know, when he finishes his career, if he doesn't move on, Cunnington will probably finish in that category or close to it. So it's going to be really interesting what happens there and if Simpkins is actually good enough to continue developing.
Then you've got to consider as well the returning players like Dom Tyson. Like, there's just so much.
But with a new coach there at North Melbourne, it could be worth maybe just chucking a dart lottery ticket at those. Like, obviously, you don't want too many of these speculative players who have lost that DPP, but you wouldn't mind throwing a dart at the North Melbourne ones, because Noble's come in, maybe new game style where they're not playing as heavy contested football as they used to in the past. I don't know. It's just maybe something to think
about. Interesting, but there's only so much to go around, and I think Cunnington swallowed much contested ball, and they didn't really have a fantasy-friendly game style North Melbourne, so it made hard for other players. And even they didn't really have fantasy-relevant players aside from Goldstein. So it's really interesting to see. I don't think Hugh Greenwood's particularly rosterable. He'll get drafted, but I'm not about it. So, yeah, there's a lot of guys who are pretty tough sells on my opinion. And the Rucks, who lost positional status. You got the Big O, who becomes undraftable. Johnny Seggs becomes undraftable. Paddy Ryder is really close to undraftable. And Luke Jackson is forward only for your keeper players, I guess, which I think we flagged. I think I flagged it on the Black Booker show.
About a week or two ago.
Yeah, I still think he's... I think he's worth a pickup as a forward only. Very speculative, though.
I think Big O is draftable.
I reckon Big O is terrible.
Really? I think he's going to be a really good late... Like, if you're punting rucks, I think there's worse picks than him. And Solo, he scored really well. Yeah. I think...
But he also shit the bed, even against non-dominant ruckmans. He just...
Yeah, but the games he scored well in were against dominant ruckmen. It was Goldie, Grundy, and...
Tim English did that too. He did well against a top-tier ruckman, unless your name's Grundy, but shit the bed against lesser counterparts.
Oh, I had a look at Big O. I'm staying away. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
Oh, I'm not saying there's not worse guys. I think there's far better guys.
Fair enough.
Sean Darcy.
Yeah, maybe my record on late rocks isn't great.
Worst case comes to it, Steve will have 12 cans on draft day and draft all the rocks.
I'd take it, make a complete fool of myself, draft well.
That's true.
And I'm in a draft good year, so look out.
And you don't have to travel, 500 kilometres to come to a draft. You can just
Skype it in this year.
Skype it in. That should be pretty interesting. You'll abuse it, Emma, couldn't you?
Who knows? We might have second baby by then. We will have second baby by then.
So definitely phoning it in the cut linen cupboard.
Both quiet. Phoning the draft in, phoning the pot in, phoning the...
Well, speaking with a mate of the show, Andrew Costa, we were talking about that. We're like, oh, Steve won't be here for draft day. And it's just like, well, he'll still make an ass of himself.
Yep.
All right, we're going to now get into the freedom draft of the show. Being Christmas time, we're going to draft all things Christmas movies. Yes, Die Hard is included. Listeners. Now, how do we want to do this? Steve, number generator's on. Steve, you are pick 3. Cam, you are pick 2, meaning I'm pick 1.
Oh, gee, what a surprise, Jono. That wasn't rigged at all. You cheat.
Finally, the generator worked for me. Well, my favourite movie is Die Hard, so...
What's your favourite movie overall, is it?
One of. It's in the top 5 for me. Wow. Yeah. I'm a simple man, Steve. Like, I don't need, intense plot lines and twists and turns. I just need a man with a gun and looking at naked ladies in the elevator shaft.
His feet on carpet. That's amazing.
Hey, that's the dream, isn't it? That's the dream.
I'm going to take an actual Christmas movie in Elf.
See, I think that's a second rounder.
I would have taken it first.
Yeah.
Well, really? I probably would have taken Die Hard first because of the dickhead listeners we got. I don't even think the people who listen to this pod vote. So, yeah. Anyway, onwards we press. I will take Bad Santa, which is a fantastic movie. I'm going to take Home Alone.
Oh.
As a wrap.
See, Cam, I thought you would have taken that Home Alone as pick 2.
Nah.
Elf's better than Home Alone.
Elf is very good.
Plus, what a banger.
I've seen Elf once. I have to watch Elf again. I haven't watched that forever.
It's a fun movie. James Caan? My goodness.
I do like James Caan. He's a good actor.
He's dead, isn't he? James Caan?
Is he?
Yeah, I think he died.
Jeez. Yeah.
Great to bring down the mood, Cam.
Or just bringing it down to Christmas mood. I will take.
Clock.
Yeah, clock. I'm going to take Gremlins.
That's got to be early.
It probably is.
See, I was going to take it on the wrap, so that's fine. I'm going to take National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. And
solid.
can. Am I allowed to take trading places? Please.
Is it even a good movie?
I was. Yeah.
Yes.
I was shattered. I was hoping I was going to make it back.
You can take all right, money. Steve agrees. Trading Places it is.
I love Trading Places. What a great movie.
Fuck yeah. That and Coming to America, probably two great movies.
They are. They're just amazing.
Cam, back on the clock.
Yep. I'm going to take... Did we say Batman Returns is counted?
I don't think we discussed it. Well, we discussed it. We didn't come to a
we discussed it.
Resolution.
We didn't. I don't think we came to a consensus.
Is it even a good film?
Yes. Probably one of the better Batman movies before Joel Schumacher wrecked.
I'm going to take Jingle All the Way.
That was on the weekend. I watched that. Good.
It was. So did I.
And this is how old I am. I saw that at the movies.
Me too. Yeah.
That's good. I actually have two on my list. I'll take Scrooged.
Oh, man. I had that as well. I like that. Bill Murray one, obviously. Yeah.
And we're not counting Rocky IV, are we?
Not even at Christmas.
They fight at Christmas.
I don't remember.
They fight on Christmas Day.
Thrasher doesn't count.
Wow, that seems...
Hello to all our Russian
friends. Seems a bit much. There's two picks here. I've got two on my list. Oh. God, this is such a hard pick. Do I take the superior? What's his chops? Alan Rickman villain. No, I'll take Nightmare Before Christmas.
Is that the stick figure type one?
Yeah. The animation.
Yeah.
Is that back to me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm tossing up between another Tim Burton film. Nightmare Before Christmas is Tim Burton.
He didn't direct it. Didn't direct it.
He write it?
No, it was like producing or something. It has his vibe though, yeah.
Yeah, very vibey. But I'm going to go Love Actually.
You got Emma's vote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's gone the female vote.
I think he's tanked his draft with the Gremlins early pick.
Yeah.
But what the fuck do I know, honestly?
Well, I'm two in a row here, boys. I'm on a hot streak.
Yeah, I don't know how you... No, you had a solid Simpsons song team. That was... Yeah. I blame Jono with his Union song pick. What was that?
Jono, he completely fucked it up.
What was that? So you had the golden ticket. Oh, I know. I know what will get me over the line. A Lisa song.
Cam infiltrated my body and goes, let's just fuck this draft up, and you'd be like a marionette, just fucking roo. That's what happened.
Couldn't have started stronger. Vest and softball, my god.
Yeah. And then that's all she went. If we stop the draft there, clear winner. Is there any other good movies? Give me the Grinch.
So Grinch. No.
There's no other good Christmas movie.
But no one took Edward Scissorhands.
Love that movie, but it doesn't feel like a Christmas movie to me.
But it is.
Actually, no. Get rid of Grinch. Give me Krampus. Give me a horror film. Okay, fuck it. Damn, I just saw Krampus on my list. It's okay. But leave the Grinch. That's good. So what are the teams, Steve?
You've got Die Hard, National Lampoon's, Trading Places and the Grinch. Very, very solid team, in my opinion. Cam's got Elf, Gremlins, Jingle All the Way, and Love Actually. I've got Bad Santa, Home Alone, Scrooged, and Nightmare Before Christmas. I think Scrooge is going to kill me because people don't know it.
I think because I love it, but yeah, it's still a solid list. Cam, you are out of this fight, I think.
No, oh. I don't know.
Man, Love Actually is going to bump him up. People love that.
People love
soppy
people
shit.
Love Elf. I love Elf.
Love Actually and Elf are going to carry me to a win. Love Actually in the fourth is an absolute bargain.
DOS likes it, which
See,
is
Love Actually.
Is, I don't know.
I haven't actually seen it in its entirety. Love Actually. I've only just seen the bit where Rick Grimes from The Walking Dead standing on the front doorstep.
Oh yeah,
that's all I know. And because I've watched so much Walking Dead, I just hope he just pulls out a gun and
Carl.
It's pretty trash. It's pretty trash. I'm not going to lie, Jono.
Okay, so I don't really
need
to
don't watch
it. Beautiful. All right, I think that is going to wrap up the show for this week. I cannot believe it. We are pretty much in ranking season.
Guess who might make an appearance next week, listeners?
It's not DOS, that's for sure.
Fucking DOS.
Is it Harvest Lane, whoever, Steve?
I don't know if they sell it in Portland, but I'll... Yeah. Well, we're going to record two episodes next week, so maybe.
Who knows? All right, if you want to hit us up on the socials, you can do that by following us on Facebook and the Twitters. Just search The Draft Doctors there. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to The Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.